That second time through was for me. Amen. That was good. Take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 18 tonight. Jeremiah chapter 8 tonight. I needed that, ladies. We all have seasons in our life where we carry some heavy, heavy burdens. I've got a young man I've invested in for 6 years. Made some bad decisions in the last 48 hours. I know somebody that can fix that, though.
That's right.
And Bobby Householder, you probably folks have met him before. He works with us at RU, and he's over here at the Baptist Hospital. And if he doesn't get an external heart in the next few days, he'll pass away. He's very, very ill on a heart transplant list. I know somebody that can fix that. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Jeremiah chapter number 8. I'm going to preach a message. It's not a conference kind of a message tonight. It's a pastoral kind of a message tonight. I wrote it about 3 days ago in midnight hour. Some other burdens that I carry and think about and I believe that God wanted me to preach this at the church tonight. I had no intentions when I wrote it of that, but I believe this is what God wants for your church tonight, Calvary Baptist Church. By the way, this afternoon I went to eBay and Craigslist and Wish and OfferUp and Wallpop, and I still couldn't find any pastor like your pastor there. Amen? I'm pretty sure if you go to Kmart and Macy's, Brooks Brothers, you still won't find a pastor like your pastor. And you ought to thank him for being that kind of pastor. I'd encourage you to write a note while he's gone. Slip it under his door, put it wherever he goes, and just flood him with, "Pastor, we miss you. We love you. Been praying for you," you know. And we thank the Lord for him. Encourage him when he gets back. I know that'll be a blessing to him. Jeremiah chapter number 8. The Bible says, beginning in verse 18, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of my daughters of my people because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the people, for the hurt of the daughters of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there," my text verse 22, "is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughters of my people recovered?" Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the passage tonight. And as you help me tonight to bring this truth on why there's no recovery in your life, in a life, Lord, in this day and age, why there's no recovery, I pray you'll help me to deliver this truth tonight. And it will be one that will stick in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is there no recovery in life? You think of people that they go through all kinds of setbacks. They go through difficulties, but there's no bounce back. They get stuck. They seem to never recover sometimes. That ability to go through difficult things in your life and quickly be recovered, quickly move back on the path that God has you for. Some people go through things like abuse and divorce and financial setbacks. And our text addresses these kind of issues. Our text addresses issues. And Jeremiah the prophet is writing here, and he's really speaking of the what's going to take place with the children of Israel concerning judgment from the Lord because of their actions. He says, "Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" You know, there's two times when the balm was required, according to this text. The first time you find here is in verse 18. He says, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. You know, when there is a sorrowful heart, that's an opportunity at a time where we need to go to Gilead and get the balm. Amen? A sorrowful heart. Sorry in the heart. That's what he's talking about. The second time we find in the passage is in that same verse. It says, why have they provoked me to anger? I'm sorry, it's a couple verses down, verse 19. Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The second reason why we ought to apply the balm of Gilead is because when there's sinfulness in the heart. Amen? When there's sorrow in the heart and when there's sinfulness in the heart, we need to know that there's some balm in Gilead. Amen? As I begin to read this in Jeremiah chapter 8, if we look at the context of this a little bit, it says in verse 20 that the harvest is past, summer is ended. Here's what he's saying. You've gone through two seasons in life now, and you're still not recovered. That's what he's saying. We've gone through two seasons, the best two seasons of harvest time, and you still have not recovered. The harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Now notice the context of this. Go back a little bit in chapter 8, verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by the perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and they refuse to return. He talks about perpetual backsliding, continuous, long-lasting, constant, uninterrupted backsliding or sliding back. I've worked with addictive people for 16 years now. It's amazing how they come to Christ and they get in church and everything seems to be going right. And then one incident happens, one trigger. And within 48 hours, or they've lost their job, they've lost their wife, they've done something to ruin their health. And I mean, just in one fell swoop, they go from seemingly on the right track to wiped out, you know? And then you look at them through two seasons and they still have not recovered. That's where Jeremiah is seeing the nation of Israel here now. These people of Israel have gone to a condition that God addresses here to us tonight. And I want you to look at God's response if you can. Look at chapter 8, verse 13. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities. And let us be silenced there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the nine of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the cities and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. Wow, there's a curse, a causeless curse that's coming here upon the children of Israel. It was not the action that bothered God like it was the attitude. It wasn't necessarily what they had done wrong. It was their attitude that he was addressing here. There is a balm in Gilead and there are physicians, caring, compassionate physicians there that know how to apply that balm and you refuse to go. It's an attitude problem. Look, if you will, at verse 21. For the hurt of the daughters of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonished, hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no great physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughters of my people recovered? Jeremiah is saying, I hurt for God's people. The truth is, a test of whether or not you have a heart for God is whether you hurt for people. If we're going to do something outside of the walls of this place, we have to have a hurt for the people that are on the outside. God's end is not destruction. God's end is not enslaving. And Jeremiah 8 gives us an incredible truth here that we must understand about recovery. Because here's what happens. So many times when somebody falls back, when somebody flubbledogs, when somebody makes mistakes, all we want to do is gossip about it. No, we should hurt. But we also should be the ones that are kind and compassionate and letting them know there is a balm in Gilead. We sang about him tonight. Amen. And there is a physician, a great physician, that knows how to apply the balm of Gilead. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Why then? Is a rhetorical question he asked. Why then is not the health of the daughters of my people recovered? He's not saying there's not enough balm in Gilead. He's not saying that there's not any kind, compassionate physicians there. Let me talk to you and help you understand about this country called Gilead. A balm is an aromatic medicinal substance derived from plants. Gilead was an area east of the Jordan River. And this balm of Gilead had healing properties in it. In fact, when I begin to study this thing of the balm of Gilead, it's also called the balsam of Mecca. And this balm of Gilead, the first time it's mentioned is when Joseph was thrown in the pit. Remember those gypsies that came by and bought Joseph from the pit from his brothers? They were carrying this balm. The Bible teaches us that they had that balm in tow and was taking that somewhere. The next time it was mentioned was when Jacob dispatched the men to go to Egypt and there to present the rulers with a gift. And you know what he presented to the rulers of Egypt? He presented them with his balm. The balm of Gilead. Queen of Sheba, it's not written in God's word, but some writings from back in that day, back in that era, tell us that the Queen of Sheba gave the actual root of the balm of Gilead to Solomon as a gift in one of her presentations to him. It was an incredible, the value of this stuff. But Jeremiah takes and represents this not to the balm that was actually this healing ointment that you would get from lilies from Gilead. No, he was likening that image, that picture to you and I, that there is a balm, there is a cure, there is help that you can get, and there's a great physician that knows how to give that to you. And that's what he's teaching us here. There was not a reason for the people to die here. There was already a solution for the people. And you need to go to Gilead. There's a balm there. And there are physicians there that know how to apply that balm. Go to that great physician. Boy, some marriages in this room may not be the kind of marriages that you ought to have right now. I got news for you. There's a cure for that. There's a balm for that. And there's a great physician that can apply that to your marriage and heal your marriage tonight. There's a balm for those of you who are having struggles with a teenager or struggles with maybe adult children. And you wonder, you're pulling your head out wondering how to help them. There's a balm for that. And there's a great physician that can apply that balm. Go to Gilead. That's what Jeremiah was saying here. There's some that need deliverance from alcohol. There's some that needs deliverance from other substance. I was reading this past week, Reader's Digest said that 133,000 Americans will die this year from smoking cigarettes. I'll be honest with you. I've helped a lot of people off of a lot of different kind of addictions, but cigarettes is a tough ordeal. And one of the reasons is you look to that to soothe something on the inside. To calm something on the inside. Hey, I found something better than that. It's the balm of Gilead. Amen. And there's a great physician that can apply that. You know, this balm that they made in the Bible day, this balm of Gilead came from a lily. Did you know heroin's made from a lily plant, a lily type plant? And when you think about that, boy, I tell you, we don't need the drugs of this world. We don't need the medicinal things of this world to solve the sorrowful heart on the inside. There is a balm in Gilead, and there are physicians there that know how to apply it. Amen. And we need to go get us some for our marriages. We need to go get us some for our kids. We need to go get us some for our finances. This passage really speaks to people who think we got a hold on stuff here. And Psalm 103 tells us this. It says, He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'm not talking about a society without consequences. I'm talking about a church without gossip. That's what I'm talking about. But sometimes we bless God, they're going to get what they paid for. You know, be sure your sins will find you out. And our attitude is one that wants to see them suffer. That won't, you know, I was in a church the weekend after that event took place down in Florida where those homosexuals and all that were the bomb that, you know, that shooting down there. And the next morning I was in a congregation full of people that it couldn't happen to a bunch of better people than that. My friend, that's the wrong attitude for us to have. What in the world? The Bible says He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We have a merciful, gracious God, and what we ought to do is we ought to be ones that leave these walls and go out there and remind people that there is a balm in Gilead, and there is one great physician that knows how to apply that. Amen. There's a bunch of us nurses running around here that can get you to Him and get an appointment with Him. Amen. Man, that's good stuff. I don't know about you, but I like this. I'm not talking about a society without consequences. It is a shame people think that we must, when people fall and people falter and people mess up and people get divorces, that, oh, I got to change churches. That's a shame. No. They just need to go to the balm of Gilead. Amen? Students who say, I've had students that I've tried to help through the years, and I've known their stories. And I've seen them go on these 15 years to do great things for the Lord. Some of them are pastors. I never forget one Sunday morning, I was on the platform of the pastor. And I was preaching, but he was giving the announcements. And his speech was so slurred, you couldn't hear what he was saying. We went out to eat after church, and we were in a buffet place. And I caught him and pulled him over in the corner. And I said, look at me in the eyes. I said, preacher, what are you on? Tears began to roll down his face. He said, Brother Brooks, I had a back surgery 3 years ago. And he says, I'm addicted to Oxycontins. I take 10 times the dose the doctor gave me. And when I can't get that, I take heroin. I'm starting to argue in my church, not just for them, but for me. By the way, that man has complete victory today. I was with him in a conference. I was speaking. He walked up to me, put his arm around me, and he said, thank you for not telling everybody about me. I said, tell them what? He said, that's right there. That's what I want to thank you for. I wanted to tell that man one thing. There was a balm in Gilead, and there was a great physician that could help him. Amen. And he found what he needed. And I'm telling you, we need to remember that it's a shame. I'm telling you, none of us should go through two seasons in our life without recovery. There's no reason. But Jeremiah looks back and scratches his head and says, what in the world? It just, things begin to fall apart. And one season's gone by and two seasons are gone by. And they're not coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And now three, what in the world? Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a great physician there? Oh, it was a rhetorical question because, oh yes, there was. None of us should go through Tuesday. We ought to have a quick recovery. I want to give you a couple more things and we'll get you where you got to go tonight. You know, this balm, in my book, I think when you think about this balm, number one, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The spiritual remedy is the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang about it tonight. We praised His name tonight, the one who shed His blood for our sins. He does not take out His blood to keep up with you and me. He already shed His blood and covered all of our sins. Amen. And boy, we need to remember that our sins are covered, they're gone. When Jesus died, He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we need to be reminded of this, remind us that our sins are gone. That doesn't give you a license to go sin again and again and again. No, no, that'll create a gratitude in your heart that it says, God, I love You. I don't want to disappoint You anymore. Get up. Don't go through another season in that stubborn habit. Don't go through another season with that lackadaisical attitude. Don't go through another season. Is there not a balm in Gilead? The blood of... Yes, there is. Now apply that to your life. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. The second thing is the Word of God. Amen? Oh, the power of God's Word. The Word of God reminds us that our sins are gone. My wife is adopted. She does a lot of ladies' conferences, and she's a tremendous speaker. And she was adopted out of the hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she had wonderful adopted mom and dad. She never personally met, been in the presence of her biological mother or father. And she looked for them. She wanted to thank them. In fact, she looked for her biological mother. And I were preaching out in San Diego, California, and we were 15 minutes from where she lived. And my wife, through research on the internet, found out where she lived, and her mom had already called and see if she could make an appointment, and the lady didn't want to, she just couldn't deal with it. She covered this thing up for all these years, and nobody in the family knew, except for her and her husband, that she gave the child up. She's got an older brother and a younger sister, and they've just been living with guilt all these years. And the lady didn't want to see her, and then we were out there, and my wife called the number, and she said, "Oh my God," and she hung up the phone on her. My wife took that as an answer. You know, I guess that's what the Lord wanted, and we went back home. About a year later, she's looking through the internet, she found out 7 months later the woman died. My wife's like, "Man, did I kill her? You know, did the stress, you know, what did..." And we found out she had cancer, and the reason she passed away, and she was the main reason why she, you know, it was her wishes that Wendy not, you know, and then she passed away. So we decided, well, her brother and sister lived together, and we, a few months later, was in another town in Kansas, and we were 15 minutes away from where they lived. We went over, knocked on her door, and Sunday afternoon, we rode over there, And my wife's all nervous, you know, and should we do this? Should we do this? And I said, "Honey, whatever you're going to do, you got to do it by faith. By the way, whatever you're going to do after tonight, you got to do it by faith." Amen? That's the way you recover. You begin to walk by faith. Not by sight, not by feelings, by faith. Faith in God's Word and faith in His blood. Amen. And she, she said, "I don't know." I said, "I know what I'm doing. I'm going to the bathroom. I got to go." I said, "You can think about it." So I rode out into Wendy's and went to the restroom. I got back in the car. I said, "Whatever you're going to do, you got to do it by faith. We'll drive by the house one more time. If you decide not to, we won't do it. We'll take that as an answer from the Lord. If we decide to do it, then whatever happens, it's in the Lord's hands." And we got out, went up, knocked on the door. She answered the door. And my wife asked her if she knew, and she named her mom's name and her dad's name. She said, "Yeah, that's my mom and dad." And, "Well, my mom knew your mom years ago and had a connection there, and I've always wanted to meet you and come see you." And And we went in the house. Going up the steps, she said, she laughed. She said, this is not a conversation for the door. I thought you guys were Jehovah's Witnesses. On the way up the steps, I said, you probably go wish we were by the time we get done. We were sitting there, and as we walked up the steps, I saw pictures. First time I've ever seen pictures of her mom, her biological mom, looked like my wife hanging on the wall. We go in and sit down, and my wife begins to tell the story. She had no idea she had a sister. None. And she, with tears, says, I don't know whether to call the police or jump across the coffee table and hug you and kiss you. She said, you don't need to, I've had 46 years to process all this. You just found out for the first time. And that was a year and a half ago, and we've been working with this family. Just trying to tell them there's a balm in Gilead. Amen? Never been to church. Never been to the church a day in their life. They've been following us on Facebook, and we've been witnessing to them, and she's been asking questions, and my wife talks to them regularly. I just wanted to find out that there's a balm in Gilead. Amen? They've been through some difficult times and difficult days. But I know, and the hurt that's in my heart for them, I'm thankful, so very thankful for the mother and the father that my wife grew up with. And so very thankful and see that as the hand of God. And I can't explain all that. All I know is you don't have to keep going through season number 2 and number 3 and number 4. There is a balm in Gilead, and there's a great physician that can apply that stuff. Amen? He can. The Word of God. There's a great physician. By the way, my grace is not your grace. That's important for us to understand. Stop trying to figure out my grace, and you need to go to the great physician and get grace for you. What do you mean, Brother Brooks? Well, I'm a diabetic. I've got a diabetic pump on here, and I've got a special kind of insulin in this pump. It acts in about 13 minutes. If I were to meet one of you tonight, and you come up to me and say, oh, I'm a diabetic too, and I say, hey, here, let me give you some of my insulin. Let me give you a shot of mine. It'd probably kill you. Because mine is made for me. It's a special kind of insulin. It's a special kind of medicine for me, and it wouldn't work for you. It was designed for me. And there's a special grace from God designed for you. Amen. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. There's a physician that knows what you're going through, and he knows what the solution is. Amen. And you may have had a good marriage. You may have had a flub in your marriage, and maybe God recovered that and God restored that. But you know, it doesn't do you no good just to walk around and find out how everybody else's marriage. You need to get in that book right there and let the great physician tell you how to fix your marriage. And you need to apply that by faith in your life. Amen. That's what needs to happen. You got to take the words here from the Word of God, and you need to bring them in here and apply. Let the great physician apply that to you. Amen. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. The grace of our Lord. It takes the balm. It takes the great physician. He says, "You've been through summer. You've been through harvest." Over there in Gilead, it's everything you need sitting there. There's a physician there that knows how to apply that. Why then is this balm refused? It's because of the attitude. You see, letter A, the place you must go is Calvary. If this balm is going to be applied to you, whether you're saved or unsaved, the place you've got to go is Calvary. This Galatians 2:20, the text that all of our materials are, the foundation of it, is written by the Apostle Paul, and he says, I am crucified with Christ. That's the big I. That's the proud I. That's the in control I. The one that's trying to rescue himself and save himself and deliver himself, and the one who's large and in charge. He says, that one is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that's the little I live. Yet not I, that's the big I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Here's your meditation. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, you got to go to Calvary. The attitude is you giving that up and you humbling yourself. That's when you'll find mercy. That's when you'll find grace. You got to go to Calvary. Amen. But not just the place you must go is Calvary. The person you must see is the great physician. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to go to him. This prescription you must take is personal. It's for you. And stop giving the excuses. Stop giving the victim mentality. There is a solution, a prescription just for you. His name is Jesus. Amen. But the problem is, well, you see in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no great physician there? Why then are the health of my daughters and my people recovered? The problem you must deal with is your attitude. The word why, God asked a question there. When God has made a way for people to escape danger, to escape sickness and trouble and disasters, provides a way of escape, people turn it down and refuse it. He says, why? What's the reason that you don't accept it? Isn't there a great physician to administer that balm of Gilead? He uses this analogy. He uses this ointment that was famous in that day and era. He says, there's no sense in this because we have the balm and we got a great physician that knows how to apply it. Amen? I like the old spiritual song, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work is in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. And if you lack of wisdom, he'll ne'er refuse to lend. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say, he died for all. Amen. Amen. There's a balm in Gilead. If we're going to make a difference outside of these walls, we got to be convinced of that in our minds and in our hearts. Oh, there's a solution. There's a balm. And there's a great physician. His name is Jesus Christ. I know how to get an appointment with him. I know how to get him to you. Let me help you. Let's make a difference. There's lots of things going to be happening in the next years across our country if the Lord tarries. But we got assurance. We got a story that reminds us there's a balm and there's a great physician. I'm talking to some of you tonight. You don't go to RU on Friday nights. But you have struggles and problems, and you've not recovered. You keep falling back and falling back and falling back, and you don't realize it, but it's pulling you further and further and further away from the will of God for your life. I preach to you tonight, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a great physician. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the song they sang a little earlier tonight, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. I was leading an RU class in Rockford. We had about 300 folks in the auditorium. We run a large RU class there and have for years. We had the joy bells up, and they were singing that great song. It was just such a good. Moving time from the Lord there. And the piano kept playing, and I said, you know, I remember when he touched me. I remember when all I wanted was my rock music. All I wanted to do what Ben Burks wanted to do. My parents left me in Florida with my uncle and aunt. My uncle asked me to stay in Florida to work in the youth department with him. The youth pastor wasn't there, and he was kind of working with the youth and wanted me to stay and help him. I was 10th grade, running from the Lord. He called me to preach. I surrendered the call, but man, I wanted to do it my way. And I was miserable. I mean, my parents left and no cell phones in those days. And I was listening to my rock music in the bedroom, and my uncle came in and said, "Boy, you ain't gonna listen to that in here." He took that stuff, old cassette tapes, and broke them in half. Threw them in the trash can. Oh, man, I got so mad. I walked around Jacksonville, Florida for about 8 hours. I ended up on the corner of Shoshone Trail and San Jose Boulevard. It was there that night I told the Lord, "I surrender all. You have it all. I love that more than I love you," and that's craziness. And I had balm applied to my heart that night. Balm from the great physician. I remember when he touched me. I remember that. And I began to ask, how many of you remember? And somebody was in jail, and somebody was in prison, and somebody was in a church, and somebody was in an RU class, and somebody had a neighbor come visit them and share Christ with them. And one old boy in the middle, he raised his hand and stood up. He said, "This is my first time here." He said, "I don't know if I've ever had one of those 'he touched me' moments, but I believe it's about to get on tonight. I think I'm going to get it tonight. Amen." By the way, about an hour later during third talk, he came forward and trusted Christ as Savior. A balm of Gilead was applied. That boy's on his way to heaven now. Amen. There's a balm in Gilead, and there's a great physician. Compassionate, caring, loving. And that's what we ought to be. We ought to be skilled. We ought to be ready to give every man an answer according to what hope that lieth in within us. Amen. Outside of these walls, that's the message. There's a balm in Gilead. And there's a great physician that can take care of all that stuff. Let's get them to him. Let's talk about him. Let's share everybody we can with about Christ. Let's help everybody we can with the struggles and the problems. Let's stop ignoring the big elephant in the room. Come on, it's pink. How in the world can you not say something about it, Mom? Dad? Grandma? Grandpa? Come on! Let's get a little bit of Jeremiah in us. Let's ask the questions. And let's try to persuade them to get to the great physician and apply the right ointment and see healing so they don't have to live through another season of misery. Amen? Let's stand together for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.